Greetings, sensual soul. You have now entered Sexy Secure. Welcome to the inaugural episode. Erotic intelligence begins right here during season one, Sensual Source Code. We made it. I'm Corey, your host and your guide through this juicy experiment in sensual truth telling. Today, we're diving deep into a big one, erotic intelligence. Definitely with a capital E. Bigger than AI, bolder than bots, and definitely messier, holier, and more delicious. We're talking about what it means to root our systems, our tech, our timing, our truth, and erotic wisdom in a world that profits from disconnection. So buckle up, or better yet, loosen up, and let's get into it. Brief transmissions from my sensual logbook. Today's entry comes from our living glossary on sexyaesthetics.net. Not just a list of words, but a coded collection of how we touch, name, and protect ourselves. Words create worlds, and when those words are sensually activated, intentional, and reclaimed, they become systems of remembrance, of defense, and desire as intel. So if you go to sexyaesthetics.net and click sync, there are different blogs that you can read. And so in this particular one, all of these terms are categorized. And so today we're going to talk about the categories energetics and ancestral code, digital autonomy, and sensual cyber tech. So the first term I want to uplift, and I thought this would be a beautiful way to start instead of going straight into the intimate moment of my sensual logbook, I want to lay a foundation. And so for our first term, energetics and ancestral coding is intersectional communion. I wanted to highlight this one because it is defined as a vision of community that sees layered identity not as a threat, but a bridge. It's the opposite of respectability politics and honoring of difference as design. I think this is important because we're coming from different lived experiences, and I want to honor and acknowledge that. And in this space, we definitely honor that difference as design. And that really gives us that really holistic and spectrum-oriented approach to one another. And this may be new to you, right? Some folks have their own opinions and thoughts about intersectionality. However, I think in the high frequency of intersectionality, it is to hold space for people's complexity. And to learn from that complexity. Next in the category, digital autonomy and sensual cyber tech, is cyber sensuality. This can be defined as how technology expands intimacy, embodiment, and connection. So there's many ways that one can interact and activate themselves on the internet, regardless of how you experience media, but cyber sensuality is to really think about and be mindful in our practice of how we engage and listen to and consume media. Now, I'm not here to act like I'm not a scroller, because baby, I be scrolling sometimes. And however, I do see that as a reality that we're dealing with in this time. And so what I've done for my cyber sensuality is to time my scrolling. And so I'm really good at not looking at my phone immediately when I wake up. And if I do, 5 minutes does it, because you know, this is not about perfection. This is about being in practice with media, right? And so I try to do that. Or I'll scroll more at the end of the night before bed after I've done my beauty rituals and done things that really ground me. And sometimes I just like to scroll to catch up on media. The Love Island has been had me in a chokehold. I wasn't watching it, but then after seeing all of the clips on TikTok, I decided to watch some episodes. So yeah, so there's not about perfection. It's about like being in mindful practice. And the more we do that, the more we have a really uplifting connection to media. Or if we're trying to change our relationship to it, it feels less daunting and more accessible. So the last time we're going to be talking about today for our sensual logbook entry is digital autonomy and sensual cyber tech as well, and this is data flesh. So this means and can be defined as the merging of our digital and physical selves in online and offline interactions. And I love this because essentially my belief is that the way we do relationships in real life is how we do relationships online. Obviously, there can be nuance with that. We can have aliases. I'm pro having an alias. I think, you know, I'm pro mindfulness even when it comes to consuming explicitly pornographic material. I'll have to do an episode about that because that's a whole another thing. But I think we like to compartmentalize ourselves in a way that isn't always fruitful. And so what I'm trying to get better at is to recognize that there is a part of me that is embodied and a part of me that is virtual, right? And that is an extension of me. Now it can be an extension of an avatar of myself. It can be an extension of a, you know, of a character that I have. It can be an extension of your creative design, right? My intention with exploring data flesh is like, how am I intentional in that? How am I creating value within that? What am I avoiding within that, right? And in the mindfulness of it all, right? Just trying to be more self-aware. That's really what I'm trying to do. So I hope that, you know, tickles something in you. But yeah, I think that, you know, starting with the foundation of a language is super important, especially in a space like this, because, you know, everyone is coming from their own understanding or understanding. And so this is just where we're at on this podcast. And for me as a person who is the host, just, you know, wanting to give you some context in how my mind works. Okay, so let's get into Sexy Redefined. So I am the CEO and founder of Sexy Aesthetics, and Sexy is a beauty therapy and digital wellness brand rooted in trauma-informed care and sensual public advocacy. Through the beauty journey, we create accessible pathways toward healing for women of color, and we do this by offering sensual systems advisory. So you can pretty much think of like a beauty advisor who just doesn't enhance your glow, but teaches you how to design rituals, boundaries, and choices that turn your entire life into a sensual ecosystem. As your advisor, I can help you to create sacred beauty routines that honor your body and spirit, reclaim your sensuality as a source of power, not performance, as well as create systems, daily, digital, and emotional, that support your pleasure, peace, and protection. So this is like aesthetic care that meets soul deep sensual intelligence. And so how this started for me was in 2013, I got my aesthetics certification license at the University of Aesthetics, Chicago. I've been practicing, I've worked for Anastasia Benefits. I've done some celebrity artist events, so for makeup artists who have a celebrity clientele. And I've done a lot of different things, from community events to supporting women who have dealt with domestic violence, queer care days, etc., etc. I also have a background in public health advocacy. I worked on the Prep for Love campaign, which is a social campaign to really transmute and just think of different ways to talk about HIV, especially in the Black queer community. I've done everything from hosting forums, and yeah, the list goes on. But in my aesthetics practice, and often, you know, beauty professionals will definitely uplift how there can be like a therapeutic or feeling like a therapist within sessions with clients. And so me fusing and merging my passions together, I came up with Sexy Aesthetics. I was really just, you know, not wanting to compartmentalize myself. Like, I'm over here in the health world, and then I'm over here in the beauty world. And obviously they have a beautiful synergy to them. But I had to think about, how is this going to benefit me in the way that I work and the way that I want to connect with people? And so, yeah. And now, you know, now we're here. I've had, you know, really interesting experiences with clients. And I think what qualifies me to talk about these topics is my hands-on experience. That's the way I learn. We all have different learning styles. I'm very hands-on. I have to be in the field, I have to be active, I have to be interacting with what I learn, testing out what I think I know, to feel moved by it, to have it really impact me long term. And so a lot of this looks like me hosting art spaces, like things that, or activations should I say, that really connected the community, myself, to think about sensuality, to think about these different topics. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, since 2013, I have been on my EI, erotic intelligence, journey. And so what I would say to someone who is like extremely new, and you're like, where do I start? You start with mindfulness. You start with really being curious about yourself. You start with, if you're the type of person that really resonates with writing, you start with, you know, keeping track of your thoughts, your feelings, your expressions, even like auditing your own behaviors and relationships. And I think that so many of us sleep on really being a scientist with our mind. We definitely maybe, you know, have information, but like really, like when that information can transition into that embodied practice is really where I feel like the magic happens. And so, yeah, I just feel like dialogical education and Pedagogy of the Oppressed, which is a lovely book. It really talks about like that reflective and active part of dialogue that is super essential. And so having that self-dialogue is not just merely about the mindfulness without practice. It's about the mindfulness that invigorates you into wanting to be in practice, right? And so, yeah, I love thinking about where I've come, where I'm going, and also the barriers that I have, even in my own, you know, thoughts, and how I can be, you know, antisocial in some ways, because y'all, I'm just tired of the way our species is interacting. And so sometimes, yeah, I do, I'm a little isolated, and sometimes that is not always good, but I'm definitely acknowledging that is what I am in practice with currently. And so, yeah, I think that new energy, being new to something, being new to like really being like in this childlike essence or energy when you're trying to learn something is super important. I don't know what it is about adults, but a lot of folks are not graceful with either teaching folks new information or new skills. Unless maybe you're an educator or you just have patience and that's your natural gift. But I realized a lot of adults do not have compassion or patience when it comes to learning something new. A lot of times it's like, oh, well, I already know that. Okay. Like, people want to act like they already know something they don't know. I don't know where that comes from. But I mean, I probably can meditate on it and then come up with an idea where that comes from. But like, I'm just not trying to do that labor. However, I will say that, as a person who has been in educator roles, teaching artist roles, I think it is key. I say key because those of you may know my previous work with hosting Kiki's and community forums, and that is really where I got my start in all of this. It's facilitating larger group discussions. So, I think the key here is to really be in conversation with oneself in whatever way that looks for you. And really having an outlet for rage, because I feel like a lot of that is dormant in a lot of us when we don't have an outlet for rage. And so this is, you know, I think beauty is not an absence of rage, right? I think it's about, having a way to soothe it, but not escape from it. And so, what makes sexy different from other beauty, wellness, and sensuality spaces is our commitment to socio-spiritual inquiry, like in the simplest forms. Like, we don't just talk beauty or sensuality as aesthetics for indulgence. We treat them as doorways into self-mastery, collective liberation, and sacred systems design. So in Nichiren Buddhism, we speak about polishing one's mirror, and that's what sexy is, a place where beauty becomes a spiritual technology. We believe beauty is essential to human revolution, not as vanity, but as vitality, not as performance, but as practice. And so many spaces fixate on change, right? Like biohacking, mindset work, glow-ups, here for that too, but here we root ourselves in cause and effect. That's the law we uplift. Every choice that you make, every ritual you claim, every boundary you hold, it shapes your karma and your sensual intelligence and the systems you live within. So we aren't here to escape the world. We're here to rewire it through sacred and sensual presence. And that has been a lot of my spiritual training as well. Being a part of Byakuran and learning and supporting, you know, hundreds of members at larger world peace meetings, and that's like the context of my spiritual background as well. And I grew up in the church, and so I have a very worldly view when it comes to things, but I also have this universal law of cause and effect that I'm constantly trying to awaken myself of the causes that I make, because karma is action. And a lot of us, you know, wherever you land on the religion, the spiritual, however you identify, I think that, you know, our actions create history, right? And so I believe that the universal law of cause and effect is important for our human revolution, right? This is about a species, our species having a real transformation from the root to the crown, okay? But yeah, so that's really where EI, erotic intelligence, comes in. And so I first want to, when it comes to talking about EI and the difference between EI and AI, I really want to, and I wrote my notes because I really want to define some things for folks who are listening who are new, or just, you know, for the sake of building community, so we're all on the same page when it comes to what it is that I mean. So AI is a artificial intelligent simulation of human intel and machines. It's designed to think, learn, perform tasks that historically required human cognition. So this is like understanding language, interacting with the environment, learning from data, and that's what I mean by interacting with the environment, problem solving, decision making, pattern recognition, etc., etc. And so as my technological awareness enhances, I have been, you know, trying to do as much as I can to learn more about technology, because I do like tech. I do love ChatGPT, all of these things. And so what I've come to understand is There is a weak and strong aspect to AI. So if you're an AI connoisseur, please, you know, hit me up with more context into this. But narrow AI is kind of like a Siri or a chatbot, and the stronger AI or general AI is applying this intel at or above human level, and it's broadly capable, emergent, generality, and yeah, you know, I've heard that AI has surpassed human intelligence. However, I need to look into that more. So yes, and so, you know, when it comes to AI and the connection to EI, I think that it's important to understand that erotic intelligence is the ability to connect deeply with one's desires, emotions, and sensory experiences, and using this awareness to foster meaningful, sustainable connections with yourself and with other people. And so this extends beyond the physical or sexual realms. It's encompassing a holistic understanding of intimacy that integrates the body, mind, emotions, and soul, right? And so that metaphysical causality, how the unseen is manifested into the seen, right? How we channel ideas into creation, etc., etc. And why I think this is important to how we connect with not only just tech, but like there's a whole parasocial dynamic that's going on, and it's getting very murky, because as a person who has a background in teaching RSE, which is relationship sexuality education, when it comes to parasocial dynamics, it is often, obviously the internet is a beautiful place, but it can be very toxic because folks don't have certain foundational skills, right? We've gotten rid of a lot of the education from schools, etc., or folks are not getting it at home, or if they are getting it in school, they cannot practice it at home, maybe based on their environment, etc. There's a whole spectrum and complexity into this. So I'm just very much so championing and uplifting how EI is very important as we become more expansive into technology. For those of us who are late in the game, maybe we're not late, maybe we're on time. Anyway, just saying that I'm thinking very much so more about the dynamic of tech, and I think that based on my own lived experience, my where I'm at educationally, and also like how I'm invested in relational dynamics and human revolution, it's like we really have to have that solid foundation in our relational skills for tech to be a safer space, or a braver space, or a abundant space, because some of us are using our skills, technical skills, to invade people's privacy, to unethically hack, don't have any ethics at all, don't, you know, just want access, right, proximity to, and are not, and are bypassing, you know, certain essential relational aspects that it takes to build safe and secure relationships. And so, yeah, that's just where I'm at. That's where I've been lately. And also just coming out of, like, feeling so annoyed and jaded by people, because I'm just so tired of certain ways that people like to relate to me. And I was like, In Buddhism, in Eastern Buddhism, we often say turn poison into medicine. And I was like, instead of me being so overcritical, which manifests within isolation, how about I share more of my skills or my thoughts, or even just have an outlet for me, you know? Because at the end of the day, that's really what it's about, right? Is getting free, like getting yourself free. Either this could be free from mental turmoil, this could be free from other people's projection, this could be, you know, whatever freedom is to you. And like, yeah, a part of this process is really understanding, what does freedom mean to me? And so that's where I'm at. I want to not be so quiet as I've been, because my energy be loud but my voice has definitely been quiet. And so I think that, you know, in future episodes, definitely want to talk about data privacy and bodily autonomy. Definitely want to talk about what does privacy even mean these days, because folks are, well, I don't know, I'm in the South, so I'm just also getting used to the Southern dynamics. Like, people are nosier than I'm used to. I'm going to say that. Nosier than I'm used to. Because coming from a city like Chicago, like, you in somebody's business, it's like, you trying to either be on some bullshit, or something ain't right, or, you know, it's questionable. And so, yeah, I also feel like, you know, this has been a different type of training for me, being in a culture where I'm like, culture shock. But I will say, I do like Texas better than North Carolina, for fucking sure, 100% hands down. But I think that we often feel entitled, and when it comes to like data privacy or privacy in general, because we're in a very significant, you know, surveillance culture. For me, I'm like, what is secure? It's like privacy. People respecting my privacy is like, yes, I fuck with you. Because as a person who is naturally an open book, I'm like, why is you trying to force yourself onto anyone or having information about anyone like that? Like, I get accessing information that, you know, folks publicly share, right? I get, you know, when you're dating someone, you're vetting them, or you're looking on their social media to kind of feel out who they are as a person. I'm not saying any of these things are wrong. I even get freaking, you know, the excitement that comes with, you know, attraction, and you're like, oh my god, like, you're like binging their content online, or like super interested in what they got going on. Like, yes, that is real. But I also feel like, too, at the end of the day, we have to ground ourselves and remember, we are not entitled to anyone. And entitlement to me is a sign of slavery, dynamic mindsets that are not healthy unless intentionally practiced. And that's going to have to come in future episodes about, you know, the conscious practice of BDSM and how BDSM can be a tool for us to understand power dynamics or utilize them healthy, even in those extreme cases, right? Because, like, I'm always here for the extremes, but I am very much so promoting the protocols, because, ooh, where have the protocols gone? I'm talking a lot of shit, but, like, for real, y'all, just be like, where are the protocols? Why is everyone so entitled? Like, oh my goodness. And, like, also, like, you know, I'm really an advocate for, you know, cultivating your own self-esteem and self-awareness. And self-esteem is really how you feel about yourself. That's all it is. That, you know, the basic end. So I'll just be like, why, you know, I had to think to myself, and I think Miley Teeley on her podcast mentioned that, like, people need to learn how to lose, like, even in the sense of rejection. Like, okay, like, it's okay to move on. And, like, how the beauty of losing teaches us so much about ourselves. Yeah, well, you know, it's just, it's really important to just really get to the heart of the matter. And, like, you know, I don't know. I think one thing that has helped me is, you know, encountering people who taught me how to deal with rejection. And this is even just seeing people being in my environment, and people I have been in community with, being just like, they see somebody they're interested, like, hey, how you doing? If the person rejects them, not necessarily, I don't feel away, but learning how to really sit with that, and not, and in developing and being in practice with, like, how to move through that, so we're not, you know, so hostile towards a person's enriching no, right? Embodied no, right? That's, I think, you know, no can be so intimate. And so I'm always grateful when somebody tell me no, because I'm like, okay, at least you're not performing, right? Or at least, you know, you have the wherewithal to be honest in the moment, because there have been times when I've been like, you know, agreeing to things just to keep the peace, and I'm happy I've grown out of that, but it's a thing, and I acknowledge that I was there for a while. And so my compassion goes out to folks who are still in process with that, because I definitely have been there. And yeah, you know, we all are in our own journeys. We're in our own frequency of how to relate. And so, yeah. But that is my time for today. I'm so grateful for you and choosing to ride this frequency with me, because I was a little cautious about doing this again, right? I had a podcast before, some of you may have known. I did about 33 episodes, and you know, using the voice is vulnerable, but I'm so happy to be doing this with you. And so if this episode moved you, share it, write a review, tell a homie, lover, or a friend. And you can find more rituals or reflections at www.sxiiestetics.net, along with the Sexy Audio Oracle, our listener's guide. And I recently posted what I think is very essential, which is the sexy relational and media ethics information as well. So tap into that. Yeah, and until next time, keep it sultry, sacred, and synced into your sensual systems.